Jim. So, but next week, I want you to preach. And then the next week, Brother Harris was here. And so I said, Brother Peterson, you're not preaching. You can preach next week. Brother Peterson said, I'm going to Maryland for Thanksgiving. And I was like, all right, then the next week, you can preach. So 4 weeks later, if he didn't have a good sermon by now, he is never going to have one, all right? So he's had 4 weeks to get this sermon ready and just polished up. Like I said on Thursday night, Tuesday night of our Thanksgiving service, I thank the Lord for Brother Peterson and all the blessing that he's been. It's been such a help. And I was at a preacher's fellowship on Tuesday, and I was asked to preach, and I preached a message at Tuesday morning to a bunch of preachers. And then afterwards, we have a time of fellowship. And, you know, one of them said, how's the new guy working out? And I said, good. It's going really well. It's been such a blessing. I can come here. I hadn't been to one of the preacher's fellowships in 2 years, but I was able to because he's, Brother Peterson's teaching. And he goes, well, he said, is it going, is it doing well? I said, yeah. I said, the one thing I've realized is, you know, I'd kind of forgotten about all the stupid things I did when I first started until Brother Peterson started, you know, and then, so it's not a slight on him. It's just what anyone who starts fresh in the ministry, you have a lot to learn, man. And I remember, you know, I remember doing stupid things and then having to, you know, go back and say, yeah, I did that wrong. I can't remember how, I can't even tell you how many times my dad brought me in the office and said, son, let me help you. And every time I heard that, I did it again, right? And so I've only had one of those conversations with Brother Peterson, so that's where he's doing great, a lot better than I ever did. I'm very thankful for him. And what I like most about him, right, is that any time that we say, you know, this is the way we need to do things, yes, sir, I will learn from it, I'm sorry, and I'll do my best. And really, could ask for nothing more. And I appreciate him. And he has done a phenomenal job, done a great job, and I'm very thankful for him. And when I first interviewed him and talked to him, I told him, you know, ask what the Lord would have for him in the future. And I told him that, you know, he mentioned that Lord may, you know, he's open to if the Lord would, he's praying about, you know, someday possibly pastoring. I said, well, I'll do my best to give you opportunities and to help you. And so one of that is studying and preparing to preach. And as a church, I think we have the obligation to give him these opportunities on occasion to help prepare him for the future ministry that God would have him for. So you probably will never have another introduction like that. So there you go. And so, Brother Peterson, you come preach for us. But thank you, and we appreciate you, brother.
Let me get myself turned on here. I got a green light. Are we good? All right, fantastic. Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. Oh, that was... Oh, man, after that introduction, Pastor, my goodness. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. There we go. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation, the book of Revelation. Like, I feel like I need to address a little of what Pastor was saying, only in this much. I appreciate his willingness to give me these opportunities. I genuinely do. To imagine that I would have a chance to preach at all, even 2 years ago, you know, I would have told me you're lying to me, you know. But the Lord has provided and worked miracles, and I appreciate the church, and I appreciate Pastor giving me these opportunities to present what the Word of God's shown me and what the Lord's shown me. Revelation chapter 20 this evening. Revelation chapter 20. In Chapel Friday, I was also able to preach. And I presented there the room was a little lopsided. All the guys were gone, except for Daniel. It was Daniel and I. Daniel and I against the room there. Ladies kind of outnumbered us, I think, like 40-1 or something. It was pretty bad. 40-2 maybe. But I presented this idea: we will give an account to God. We will. Romans chapter 14, 12. And we will get to that later, but we will give an account to God. And I really took that apart because I never truly understood it. I said, I thought our sin was forgiven. I thought our sin was removed. I thought our sin was forgotten. And the more I took apart the passage and the more I compared Scripture with Scripture and the more I studied it out, the more I realized, yes, we will give an account to God, but not for our sin, but for what we have done for Him. This evening, I'm kind of wrapping together three ideas that the Lord's been working on me with. Three. And to illustrate this to you, well, not illustrate it per se, but to show it to you, I want to use one of my favorite things. And I found it all throughout the Word of God. It was kind of like the Lord was putting it all together for me these last few weeks. My message has changed repeatedly. Time and time again, I looked at it and said, okay, I've got what I'm preaching. Okay, you're next week. All right, let me go back and hit it again. And the Lord has brought this together in a way I couldn't understand or foresee. So looking in Revelation chapter 20, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, please. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This evening, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to look at three flames in the Word of God that we should fear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help me to present this with clarity, Lord, as you've shown me. Lord, if there's words you wouldn't have me say, help me not to say them. If there are things that you would show me, Lord, as I go, Lord, please, work through me. Make me a channel, Lord. Remove me from the equation. Bless us now, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's have a seat. Looking at flame. If you're in my science class, which I think one or two of you in here are, you know I enjoy fire. I enjoy, okay, confession time. I may at some point have charcoaled a pencil inside. It was for science. It was science class. We did this, and it's still great fun. It's still sitting over there in the desk if you want to examine it. But it's there, and we burned it, and I've always enjoyed fire. No, I don't enjoy burning, you know, a lot of things, just some things. One of the first jobs I got to do here with Brother Salih, who is ill tonight, please remember to pray for him, was going over and starting a fire in the backfield. I'm like, hey, are we going to take this to the dump? He's like, no. And he, you know, pulls out his match. He's like, we're going out back. And so we loaded up my truck and Daniel was there. And we drug all this stuff out there and we had this big fire going. I just enjoy a fire. I started reading, of course, in the Word of God, as one should, on a regular basis. And again, through different passages that I read, fire was a recurring theme. I don't know if it was just the reading schedule I was on, or whenever I did a word study, I'd come across another verse where they had to deal with fire, and I found fire all throughout the Word of God, but there's three specific flames I want to look at this evening, and the first is the fire that is reserved, the reserved fire, the fire of judgment. The fire that even hell and death are cast into. You say, wait a minute, Brother Peterson, you said we're supposed to fear this fire. I'm saved. I don't fear that fire. Amen. We don't fear that flame. But let me pose it to you this way. If you knew that something horrible was going to happen to someone, something horrible, something horrendous, you knew that maybe they were going to be in a car accident. But you weren't. You were safe. But you just knew that they were going to be in a car accident. You knew it was going to happen. You knew if they continued on the path they were on, they were going to have this car accident. Would you, after a while, start to fear for them? Maybe you didn't even know what it was. You just knew that at some point, if they continue to drive, they're going to have this car accident. You would begin to fear. You'd say, man, hey, be careful with your speed. Be careful what you're doing. I wish you would change what you're doing. In the same way, forgive me if this maybe is convoluted, but I began to fear for others about this threat that they don't even take it seriously. The vast majority of my family are saved, praise the Lord. But there are some. There are some. Nothing to do with God. And I fear for them. And I fear that flame. I fear where they'll be someday. They don't turn. They'll burn. You're a Christian, you're saved. You don't need to fear hell anymore. I fear it more now because I know it's real and I know people are going there. There was a prominent atheist once said, hey, if I believed what you believe, I'd be running up and down the street stopping cars. I've been saved 3 years. And to my shame, I think I've passed on more opportunities to witness to people than I would care to admit. Having a track on my person, the Holy Spirit saying, give that to that person. Oh, Lord, don't worry. Just keep going. When I look at the people around me, especially in this room, I know the majority of you are saying, I know. You're here, you're in church, you're serving God. Amen. When I drove down to Kroger the other night, I was walking through the aisles. I see kids. I see adults. I see teenagers. I see people that if the statistics are right, I doubt I bumped into anyone who is truly saved. Should I not fear for them? Should I not fear this flame for them? We should fear it. We should. And if we don't, I fear we've forgotten what it's really like, what it will be like. Pastor, I was listening to the sermon he preached last week, and I was listening this morning, and he still touched on the subject of what hell is, separation from God, but that fire, that flame, the hottest flame in existence that scientists have been able to tell is black. Flame that emits no light. Science itself has proven the word of God correct, that a fire will burn unquenchable yet in total darkness, a flame beyond what we can imagine, beyond what we can genuinely create, a supernatural fire. I fear this flame, my friends. I fear it. For my family, for my friends, who I know aren't saved. I tell the teens all the time, this ring represents 24 other students that I graduated with. To my knowledge, the only one in a solid church at all. Yeah, one goes to one of those non-denominational, praise Jesus. They're going to hell. And they're going to burn there. And I fear for them. Do you fear for your loved ones? And for your friends? And for even those random people that you walk by on the street or in the store? You ever stop to hear their laughing? They're chattering, and yes, even they're cussing, and everything that they say. knowing if they don't accept Christ, it'll be turned into screams of torment. Walk around with that in your mind next time you're out in public. And see if the Holy Spirit doesn't start to poke your heart and tell you to do something about it. To get involved on a bus route, to go and visit in this nursing home. I didn't mention it to you, Pastor, but while I was there Saturday visiting Brother Gary, a gentleman right across from a hall from him passed away. It was a Catholic man, had a picture of the local cardinal on his door. And that man shut his eyes. He felt that flame. There was nothing I could do. And I thought to myself, how many times did I pass this room and I never even bothered to poke my head in? The Lord smote my heart because I didn't fear the flame enough to even bother to warn him or even try. You're right, maybe he wouldn't have listened to a word I would have said, but at least I would have tried. Please, side note, stop where we're at for one moment. Brother Gary, I don't know, did you announce to Pastor that he's been placed on hospice care? Please continue to pray for Brother Gary. His health isn't, I wouldn't say in imminent danger, but he's just at the point where he can't really recover anymore. Just pray for him. He's so discouraged. He wants to be in church so bad. He was able to be there Tuesday night. It was such a blessing seeing him there, but just pray for him and for his family. I got to meet his niece Saturday, and she was there. I didn't have a chance to talk to her about the Lord. I don't know, but I'm sure he fears too for his family. He's saved. Brother Gary knows the Lord, but I think he fears too, just as we should, the flame that's coming for them. There's a second flame I want to look at this evening. A second flame. We looked at the reserved flame, a flame that is reserved for those facing judgment. But there's a second, God's refining flame. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1, if you will. Isaiah chapter 1. God's refining fire. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 25. The Word of God says this, "And I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin." The Word of God in multiple places speaks of God bringing a fire into our life. You say, wait a minute, I thought we're talking about flames we're supposed to fear. Fear, in its second meaning, respect this flame. I looked it up this evening just to double check, because, you know, sometimes I can be wrong and do things incorrectly. But the word fear, when it's referring to respect, it says being awe-inspired of God. I should fear, respect, and be in amazement that God would bother to work on me, to try and refine me a bit more, to try and change me, to try and begin to melt me so that the dross, the waste, the sin can rise to the top and be removed. For science class a few months ago now, month and a half, we talked about the refining process. And I even looked up a video online and I watched it myself of a gold mine in South Africa, deepest in the world. And they go down into these things miles deep and mine for this gold. And they bring it up, and I mean, it just looks like a rock. And rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks. And they load it all into a elevator. It's the same elevator they use to lift them up. They put all the material in, and if that thing ever went down, I would not want to be having that job. And they haul it all the way up to the surface, and they put it out in the conveyor belt, and they just dump it in these vats, and it burns, and it melts, and it melts, and it melts, and it melts, and it melts. And out comes this impurity, and out comes that impurity, and out comes that impurity, and out even the silver. It said even the silver is worthless. We just want the gold. And when it's all done, it funnels down this flume into these molds that they have on the floor, and it sits there, and it cools, and it forms a pure gold bullion bar. They have to use a forklift to pick these things up. And they said, where are all the guards in this room? They said, you can't even pick that up if you tried. They said, we have a standing invitation. If someone wants to come in here and grab that thing with their two hands and walk out with it, they're free to. It's so heavy. It's so pure. God repeatedly throughout our life is putting a flame under us, testing us, trying us, not to make us miserable, not to make it hard, not to punish us in anger, but to remove a little bit more of those impurities that would just sit there otherwise. God says, I'm doing this for you because I love you. I want you to be pure. I want you to be more like my son. I want to refine you a little. But Pastor, I've learned that there are two responses to that refining fire. We can melt. We can begin to be morphed. We can change like we're supposed to. Or begin to harden and bake and crack and refuse to be changed. Different elements and different materials respond to fire different ways. Some will melt, choose to melt, but some will just blacken and harden and refuse to give ground until they're broken and smashed into something else and remade. We're supposed to be clay that's moldable. We're supposed to be refinable, to be changeable. But when we reach a certain point in our lives on one issue or another, I don't know, all of a sudden the fire that was changing us, we say, I don't like it anymore. It starts to hurt. I resist this. I don't want it anymore. I'm happy with where I'm at. Why can't God be? Blackening, hardening, until God says, I'm going to have to break you to do anything else with you because you refuse to melt and change. I've been there. And if you're honest, there may have been a point where you were there too, unfortunately. Praise God that he still tries and doesn't just give up. He doesn't just throw in the towel and say, fine, I'm done with you. He says, no, I will keep working on you. You are my child, and you will get this. Fear that fire. Respect it. Be awe-inspired that he would bother to try. Amen. I'm not worth it. I'm still not worth it. I don't think I'll ever be worth it. But he saw value. And that piece of rock that he pulled out of the ground, he's been melting it and melting it and melting it and taking this out and taking that out and taking that out until he can reach a point where he says, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's pure. There's a third flame in the Word of God that I saw that the Lord laid and impressed upon my heart to present to you this evening. And this is the one I believe I'll probably spend the most time on, and by that I don't know how much longer I have. So we're just going to go for it. First, we looked at the reserved flame, the one that is reserved for those in judgment. Then we looked at the refining fire. Finally, let's look at the revealing fire. The revealing fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This passage mirrors what I was presenting Friday in chapel. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. A revealing fire. A fire that shows us what we're really made of. The whole purpose of the refining fire of God is to get us to a point where we can properly serve Him and begin to lay up those treasures in heaven and begin to build on the foundation that we all have if we're saved, of Christ. But what we build from that point on will be presented in heaven one day, and a fire will sweep through and burn away. And what's left is the reward which we don't keep, but which we present to Jesus Christ. On Friday, I talked about how we're going to give an account to God, how we're going to show Him what we do. And this is pictured through the Jewish wedding ceremony, which they had. And they would, I explained all of this in detail, but to give a quick rundown, and the day of the marriage, at the wedding feast, so much has happened to get to this point, but then the bride comes forward and presents to the bridegroom as he sits on the wedding seat, the bema seat, as it's called, and he is there, and the bride presents to him everything that she had worked on until he arrived. She presents clothing. She presents decorations. She presents a tapestry. She presents the things that she had prepared until he came, because she didn't know when he was coming back. It's all very close, related in with the rapture and everything. I'd love to preach a sermon on that sometime. But she presents all these things. When we stand before Christ to present to Him, to give our account, what will we have? Where will those precious stones, and where will those crowns, and where will those things come from? They'll come from what's left after the revealing fire burns through our life and removes. That's what we did for ourselves. That's what we did while we were still in the flesh. That's what we did for any other reason besides serving the Lord. That's what we did with a bitter attitude or a bitter spirit. I'm going to go there and I'm going to do this, but I don't want to. The things that God says burns away. And what we're left with, those precious stones, those precious jewels, the crowns, we'll bring them to our Savior and present them to Him, cast them at His feet. Say, Lord, it's yours. It's what I've prepared for you to give to you on this day. I described on Friday that there are three types of people that will be standing there at the Bema seat one day. Those that are standing there because they're saved, but they have nothing. Nothing to give to the Savior. When that fire burned through their life, maybe they were saved on their deathbed, maybe they were saved later in life, or maybe they were saved when they were a young child and lived for themselves. They'll have nothing. Nothing to give to Him. And I said, there's going to be a large group of people where I think most people will be, including myself, where they'll have something to give to God. But not as much as they want. Where they'll see that fire burn through their life and take away so much and leave some things. Lord, I did do that for You. Lord, I did do that for You. I wish I had so much more. I wish I'd have taken it seriously sooner. I wish I would have gotten saved sooner. I wish I would have surrendered that area of my life to You so that I could have served You better. I wish I would have let You refine me more so that I would be purer in Your sight. I said, and then there will be a third group of people, small, that lay everything, they have at the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, no, You can't reap perfection. I understand that, Pastor. I'm not preaching that. I'm saying that they gave everything they had. And when that revealing fire burned through their life, they had it all. Say, Lord, I did everything You wanted me to do. You say, there's no one like that. I've known some people that at least seem that way, Pastor. That if the Lord spoke to them, they did it without a second's hesitation. I said, Lord, You want this gone in my life? Take it and more. For You, Lord, for You, I'll let the fire burn everything. There's three different fires that we need to fear. That of hell, finally the lake of fire, where our friends and our loved ones and even the people walking down the street are headed to, that they don't even know exist. It's God's refining fire. The fire He's trying to use on me and you. And we decide what results come from that. We need to respect it. We need to love it. We need to melt for it. Or risk being broken and removed. And finally, there is the fire, the revealing fire. I fear this flame. I really do. How much service for the Lord have I done because it would make me look good? Because, oh, if so-and-so didn't see me here, they'd be upset. If I don't do this, my parents will be upset with me. If I don't do this, so-and-so will be disappointed at me and they'll call me in their office and I'll get in trouble. So I guess I got to do this. How much have I genuinely done it just to serve my Savior? Just because I love Him? Because He deserves it? It's a scary thought. It's a really scary thought. I fear that flame. So when I was reading through this, or when the Lord was hitting me with this, I said, Lord, I want to have more in that day. When I present what's left of my life to You, I want it to amount to something. I want to have something to give to You who gave everything for me. You bought me with Your blood. I can never match that, but I can try. Only what's left of my life that I give in service to Him will remain in that day. What'll be left of yours? I only ask that question after asking myself. I wouldn't turn that magnifying glass on somebody else. I can only turn it on me. Only I know my life. Only I know my mind. Only I know my heart. And the Lord. What will be there when the revealing flame comes through? You say, I wish I had more now. Serve Him now in prayer, in giving praise, in giving thanks, in service, one way or another. As long as it's for the Lord and in the right heart and the right spirit, He sees that, no matter how small it is. That's what I encouraged Brother Gary with. I said, not Brother Gary, I know. I said, but you can still pray for people. You can still keep a right testimony and a right spirit. You can still talk with the Lord. I talked with Mrs. Salee, Brother Salee's mother. She was laying in bed. She can't get out like she used to, really even much at all. Tuesday night's a struggle for her. And I sat down with her and we prayed and we talked. And she said, I can't even really talk to the Lord anymore in prayer. It just tires me out from speaking. And I said, He hears your heart. He hears your heart. He knows and He sees. Keep praying. Fear these fires. Fear these flames. Commit to fearing them as we should. And I know it'll be a blessing to you like it's been a blessing to me. The Lord has laid this on my heart. And I'm stubborn, like my father. Love you, Dad. He said, sometimes the Lord's just got to hit me upside the head with a 2x4. That's what He had to do with me. Let the Lord work. Let these fires move you to something. Don't be hearers only, but doers. It's my final exhortation to you. I fear this flame, my works being tried. What'll I have for Christ? This moment, out of my 23 years of life, not a lot by my own accounting. I want to have more. We all should want to have more for the Lord.